Great. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being on today. Just to give a quick roll call, we have representing the CPCF team, we have Jessica Young, we have Leah Carolyn, Executive Director, of course, myself, and then we have Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut, Jenny Caligiuri in Iowa, Sharon Pierce in North Carolina, Esther in Alaska, and who else is on, please?
Marlene Tidwell from Tennessee.
Marlene with Tennessee. Thank you, Marlene. I pulled up the roll call sheet here, and your number's not in yet, and I apologize. So good. Thank you, Marlene in Tennessee. I know Cindy is going to be on in Michigan, but will be muted today since she's in a meeting of sorts. And anybody else that I did not mention? Okay, well, I see a few other names here, but or numbers here, but thank you for being on today, and we're just going to jump right into the call, and Leah is going to open us in prayer today. Leah?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Father, we do thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, to serve you in these times, God, to serve you with all of our heart and serve you personally and also as a team. God, we praise you that you are the king over all things. You are the one that puts up nations, takes them down. You move the hearts of kings, Lord. You are the one that we completely and utterly trust in, that you are concerned and you are involved and that you have a purpose in all these times, Lord, and all the things that are happening. Father, we ask that you would give us your heart and your strategy and your mind, Lord, that we would see your character and your ways, and we would move with them, Father, and that we would be a voice of truth and an extension, Lord, of your truth and your love and your joy and your hope in these times, Lord Jesus, in America. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity, this unique and incredible opportunity you've given us to serve you, to serve our government leaders across this nation, to serve the men and women on the front lines every day who are putting their neck out and who are fighting and who are weary and who are standing for righteousness, even when it's not popular. God, we ask you to give them courage and help us to know how to support them together as a team. We love you and praise you. And now as we meet and as we talk, Father, we ask that your spirit would make it clear, that you would speak to us, and we would just be continually to be united in your heart, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Good. Well, before I turn it over to Leah, I just want to go over a couple of things. If we could, if everyone who is not talking, would you please mute your phone just to cut back on any background noise? And again, just a reminder, I am recording this call. We want to welcome everybody who's with us. And Leah, I know you were going to start out here with some updates on A God We Trust.
Yes. And I thought I heard another person join on. Was there somebody else that just came on during the prayer?
I do see a few.
Say it again.
Deb Corbett from Oklahoma. Sorry.
Beth. Yay, Beth. We're glad you're here. And who was the other one? I heard a male voice.
Actually, that was
Chris
Deb.
From Ohio.
Great. Thank you, Chris. And then that was Deb Leah from Oklahoma.
Oh, from Oklahoma. I thought I heard Mike or somebody. Sorry. All right. Good. Well, thank you all so much for being on. I know that we're in the middle of summer and a lot is going on, kind of a crazy time out of our schedules. But I did want to just give you a quick update. I just have a very short update today, and then I'm going to pass it back to Summer. I just wanted to give you sort of a couple of thoughts. The summit, we have every intention. I think I spoke before that we have every intention to do another summit. I've gotten the word from some of the members of Congress that they definitely would like to do that. We're looking at the first or second weekend of March. Again, it's sort of leaning toward the first weekend, but don't write that in pen yet. But one of those weekends, probably in March, is the likely date. We may be doing it in Williamsburg or Charlottesville. Again, back in Charlotte, North Carolina, not Charlottesville. I'm sorry, Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're not sure yet whether or not we're going to do one of those two locations. They felt like it might be good if we were a little closer to D.C. and they could actually drive. They thought they might actually have more leaders, the congressional leaders, that would be able to make it if it was a two-hour drive rather than a flight, especially if we had weather issues. But all of those factors, we're factoring all them in. We know it's a difficult time for states because a lot of them are in session. But what I found after talking with some of them is that they said it was still it was worth it. And now that they've been, they feel like more people would come, even though it's a challenge, they would start putting it in their calendars and make sure they were there because it was that valuable to them. So that was great. That's a great report that I've gotten from a number of state legislators. So I just want to let you know that's potentially moving forward. We'll let you know the minute we know anything. And then secondly, the Pray USA initiative is advancing. It's moving forward. We've had we've had more churches that have scheduled Pray USA Sundays in Virginia. I know they're moving forward. They're having a big pastor's event on September 22nd here in Virginia. I know that many of your states are also moving forward, and I look forward to hearing testimony of anything that the Lord is doing in your states, and I'll let you all share that later. But just want you to know that there's no question that the congressional leaders are continuing to advance it. We've had a number of congressional leaders ask for packets or ask us to contact the churches they're going to be at and make sure that we equip them so that they can come in and advance Pray USA. And several organizations have also started to indicate that they want to really advance it as well. So when I say that, I mean, you know, for instance, denominations, we have the head of the Baptist denomination that has said his church will advance it. And so I think that's the first step to possibly maybe even talking to him about moving it into the Baptist convention. So there's movement, and there's definitely positive things happening as we've talked to various large organizations about advancing Pray USA. And so grateful for all of you, and again, look forward to any testimonies you share. And then in the In God We Trust front, just want to say again, I mentioned it at the last meeting, there's a resurgence in the In God We Trust campaign. Put it up. For example, we have a marketing company that's advancing the In God We Trust Million Window campaign, and it has taken off, more successful in 4 weeks than we had in 11 months of last year as far as selling In God We Trust decals. They actually sold almost the same amount in 4 weeks that we sold in a total of 11 months with all the organizations and ministries that were advancing it. So if you are thinking about continuing to promote that, I would say this is a beautiful time to do it. When the Missouri Sheriff's Department said that they were going to put In God We Trust car decals on their cars, got some flack for it, posted on Facebook that this is our national motto and we're going to stand with it. We got behind them and sent them a letter and put it out on Facebook. And David Huckabee, who's a big fan of the In God We Trust campaign, called yesterday and said, Leah, let's get together with that sheriff's department and let's promote it all in Missouri and get people in Missouri to stand with them and let's get other sheriff's departments to do the same. So there's a real place for this In God We Trust Put It Up campaign. It's resonating with people that they can make a strong stand for God when it seems like everywhere everybody's against and the momentum is shifting the other direction. So it's just something simple people can do, but they need something simple that they can do, but yet bold. And so just want to encourage you to continue to come up with ideas or strategies and just keep that in the forefront of your conversations with your legislators. And then, Summer, I'm actually going to pass it back to you to even talk further about what I know Pennsylvania is taking off on the In God We Trust campaign. You know, Representative Saccone is a huge fan. You heard that at the summit. And he's got all kinds of ideas, and we're working with him on those ideas. You know, we talked about next year being the 60th anniversary of the signing of In God We Trust as our national motto by Eisenhower. And so we'll be moving forward on a lot of ideas next year that we're working on right now. But before I pass it back to you, Summer, to talk about that and then open it up with all the states, I'm going to have to jump off a little bit early today. But I just wanted to open up if there's anybody that has questions for me about anything I've just talked about or anything, I'd love to just open that up right now to anybody on the call that has any questions for me specifically. All righty. Good. Well, Summer, I'm going to pass it back to you. Oh, can I just say one more thing before I jump off? I know that I only get to talk to you guys about once a month, but I don't want to pass by one single moment without saying how much I appreciate all that you all are doing. And please know that even though I don't necessarily talk about it a lot on this call, a huge amount of our conversations as a team is what can we do to better support our state directors and to better provide resources for them, mechanisms for them, graphics, toolkits, training. What can we do to equip our state directors? So I just want you to know that is a huge component of what we're doing and what we want to do. So if there is ways where you're wondering, gosh, I wish the headquarters would do this, or I wonder why the headquarters hasn't done this, please don't assume we've thought of it. But we really, really, really feel like what you guys are doing on the front lines out there is the key to the success of actually making an impact and turning this country around. So I just want you to know we will do everything we can. And if you have ideas or thoughts or something that hasn't been implemented or maybe that you haven't even shared with us, please know we are eager to hear what you have to say. We'll do everything we can to make sure that we support you in every way we can. So we just love and appreciate every single one of you, and thank you for all that you're doing. All right, Summer, back to you.
Great. Thank you, Via. Excellent. Well, I was just going to touch on a few of Representative Ciccone's efforts just as a source of encouragement. The legislator is really taking this upon himself. But first, I'd like to see if Abby is on and would like to share first about anything that she knows, and I can add anything additional. Abby, are you on? Okay, I wasn't sure. So just a couple of things that Representative Ciccone is doing. I mean, he feels so strongly that this is an initiative that is a proactive, positive way to get the next generation involved, to really impact our nation. And so he has, by himself, championed a variety of things. He has sent a letter to the governor of Pennsylvania, all the Catholic schools. He's contacted, he has a PhD, and he used to be in education. So he's actually helped create lesson plans and to implement in God We Trust as part of the curriculum. So he's working with a variety of sources there to see if they can get that underway in Pennsylvania. He'd love to see that done in all schools. And then also he's working with radio, television. Apparently in Pennsylvania, they have at their disposal the ability to make videos, so as legislators, part of the state house resources. So he's making videos for this and circulating those, again, getting those on TV, any stations that will play it, but he's been on radio. He's helped he's working with the American Legion and a variety of other networks that have a patriotic aspect to them, and they're really excited about it. So he's an American Legion, has forwarded their In God We Trust resolution to the National Convention, and we'll be discussing that in Baltimore. He's going to a variety of events anywhere that they will have him, churches. Again, there's an event on the West Coast this week, actually, like-minded organization that he's going to be speaking at, sharing about this. He's working with pastors' networks, trying to get them to adopt schools in order to get posters up in schools. Potentially having school assemblies and then every church putting up In God We Trust on their marquee. And this is all part of a big push for the 60th anniversary next year. He's looking to get In God We Trust stamp. He is he's trying to do an art contest. He is doing an art contest where he's trying to get the young people to create some type of a artwork incorporating In God We Trust, and then the winners would have a ceremony in the state capitol hosted by the prayer caucus, and they'd receive cash prizes. So that's something that he's working on and very excited about. Again, just encouraging that this is a legislator that is passionate. He's running with this, and so we thought we'd share his ideas, and then also just continue to request prayer for him as he champions this effort. A couple other things I wanted to mention, just an update. I know I've mentioned before the situation with the Marine that was court-martialed because of her posting of a Bible verse quotation at her workstation. Just to give an update on that, she had used the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, in her defense, and they, believe it or not, said that She did not have the right to use that. So the CPC, the Congressional Prayer Caucus, has actually signed on to an amicus brief in her defense, and also just reiterating how important it is that they recognize that the RFRA applies in the military. So I'm going to go ahead and the follow-up email attached the amicus brief. I think it's always interesting to read these and to kind of find out what their arguments are. So I just wanted to mention that there is the CPC and others are coming to her defense, and it's not over yet. Also, in the wake of the Scotage marriage case, Obergefell versus Hodges, Congress has worked on putting forth a couple of pieces of legislation that I just want to bring to mind, because I know many states are strategizing about how to protect individuals and businesses in the wake of this decision. So they have put forth the First Amendment Defense Act, as well as the Child Welfare Inclusion Act. So I will also attach those pieces of legislation to the follow-up email, just to have that for your review and as a resource potentially to any legislators that would be interested. Also, regarding, I know many of you, we're working on getting your state pages updated, so please continue to provide any additional information that you'd like us to update on your state page. Something that we have done recently is we've added the Pray USA Proclamation signer to each page. It's a button that will list all the legislators that have signed, as well as the churches and or organizations from your state that are participated. So you can, it looks like Michigan's page is complete and can be used as an example, but again, that's something that we're working on for your states that have participated in the Pray USA initiative. Wanted to mention also, we have, I've shared with y'all a state director's Dropbox link. We are hoping to have on the back end on that government site, the government section on our website. We want to eventually have these resources there, but in the interim, I've put resources in a Dropbox for all of us to use and refer to. I do ask, and I'm in process, I'm continuing to build it, so please be patient with that, but I just want to make you aware that there's a variety of resources there. I do ask that if you do use something, please do a save as, so that if it's something that you're going to modify, so that we don't change the document that's in there and or remove or delete it. So please just be careful when doing that. If you have anything else that you'd like me to add to that, please let me know. I just added yesterday all the amicus briefs that the CPC has done on a variety of issues relating to religious liberty and our Judeo-Christian heritage, added those to the Dropbox, as well as legislation that they have passed or sponsored that would be just good resources. So wanted to make you aware of that. I did mention, I should mention this earlier, website updates. Please contact Jessica Young. So it's jessicayoung@cpcfoundation.com for any updates to your or needs to your webpage. Also, state logos there's a good portion that are done. As I mentioned before, we are we are revising the branding. We're just slightly four states. So we are, some of the states are done. As soon as we can, we're going to update all of the Facebook pages as well as the state pages, and we will also provide those to you. I'll probably just put them in Dropbox, but I wanted to make you aware that they are just about complete. And then just, again, I know I've been talking with several of you offline, but just during this time when states are out of session, this is a perfect time to plan for next session in the four areas that we really focus, which is prayer, legislation, education, and mobilization. So I will continue to be discussing with each of you, you know, what that looks like. And just, again, thank you for being on today. And I want to turn it over to the states now to share anything that's going on. Again, any questions, comments that you may have, anything. Let me start first by asking, does anybody have any questions about what I just mentioned? Okay, great. Excellent. Well, Beth, are you on today? Okay, she had they did a great job last week. I know many of you were on the call that we had in telebriefing with Kelly Shackelford, president of Liberty Institute, and then Congressman Forbes, when we invited the legislators as well as all the state directors to be on as a means to communicate about religious liberty, the current issues facing our nation, as well as potentially a strategy meeting for states. Well, they duplicated that in Colorado. So Colorado brought in the state ADF resources, several legal experts in Colorado, as well as you know, all the legislators. So they had a telebriefing of sorts there, a strategy meeting, and it seemed to be very effective. So just wanted to make you aware that that's something that y'all can do in your state if that's helpful, is really creating a platform for these legislators to get together with some of the legal experts in the state. So I appreciated her efforts on that. And okay, and then I know she's working. She sent me a list of all the events that are coming up. So she's been an extremely busy lady. Please do continue to keep her in prayer, as she's had a series of viruses and things that have just challenge her health. So please do keep Beth in Colorado in prayer. Okay, let's, Sharon in North Carolina, would you please give us an update there?
Hi, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, we're still in session here. I'm not sure how much longer it will go on. It could even be a few more weeks, so I'm not sure about that. But probably the biggest update from the state itself is that the governor did call the state to prayer. The response, North Carolina, will be held September 26th, which is, just turned this out, it's sandwiched right in between all the Pope's visit and the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Blood Moon. So that is kind of where we're headed in prayer. We are bringing our apostolic leader in the middle of August. We felt like we needed help just breaking into the place we need to go to pray for that. So we've asked for help, and they're coming. And then after that, in October, I'll be sharing more about this. We have a national prayer initiative that will affect all the states, but especially one of the key states we'll be praying for at that time, Esther, is Alaska, and I'll be in touch with you about it. God really laid that state on the heart of one of the leaders of this initiative. She's been researching it and praying over it, and we're just happy just to come alongside you and pray for Alaska. So God bless you guys.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. And I know also that you had recently felt the Lord wanted you to circulate a fundraising letter, and it's really to help raise support for the State Prayer Caucus effort. So just wanted to remind everyone that is an option. We, under the CPCF, which is a nonprofit organization, there is an opportunity for donors to get a tax receipt. So, and all of the, there's a small portion of that would go to just overhead, you know, processing fees, but the remainder goes into the CPC, I'm sorry, the State Prayer Caucus account, of which you can use for events and things for the State Prayer Caucus. Great. And then let's see, Jenny in Iowa, do you have an update for us there? I know, again, a lot of the states are out of session, so there's not as much activity, but just want to give everyone an opportunity to share if you'd like.
Yeah, we don't have a lot going. A lot of them are on vacation and everything. The thing that the Lord had me start here is the 7 to 8 prayer in the morning by phone and at night, Monday through Friday. And that is really beginning just to change the atmosphere in the state and the nation, and to praying to those things that He puts on our hearts. So that has, I had a few days where I was on there by myself in the beginning week, but God had given me a dream, and I knew that this is what I was called to, and now we're averaging 3 to 7. I think today was our biggest day. We had 7 on this morning, but it is beginning. The whole deal is to begin to awaken the church to a true repentance, and it is because of the Lord reminded me of the proclamation that our legislators and all of us signed to unceasing prayer. And when he told me to initiate prayer, that was kind of what he brought into my mind eventually, that we have signed this document to unceasing prayer. And so we're kind of bookend 7 to 8 in the morning, 7 to 8 at night. And it's going very well. God's beginning to give us great insight. So that's kind of where we are, planning to meet with our legislators, hopefully, either Timberwind School starts back, planning for our session that starts in January. So that's really about what's going on here.
Great. And I'm glad you sound better. I'm glad you're feeling better. As you know, we continue to pray
Thank
for you. So.
And I appreciate and that we'll very much. Thank you.
We will continue. Absolutely. Yes. Did I hear somebody say my name? Oh, Leah, actually, I can barely hear you.
Oh.
There we go.
Okay, is that better? I'm sorry.
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to make sure it was clear. I was trying to listen, and I wasn't sure if you were coming in and out a little bit, but I just want to make clear that you said that 100% of any donations that come in through the state stay in the state. There's no cuts. Right now, we used to do 10% to the headquarters, but that was when we were all kind of just trying to, you know, make it work, and I didn't have enough funding to really, or resources or staffing to get, to take care of all the state's, bookkeeping and all that, but now we do at the headquarters. I have enough, and I want you guys now to have all the resources you bring in go 100%. The states, we're not even taking 10% at the headquarters right now for the purpose of just making sure you guys get advances as quickly or as much as possible. We'll make sure that was clear.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
Can I just say some about that too?
Please.
Hello?
Please.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about this fundraising issue too, since we're doing it. We have put this, particularly this National Prayer Initiative that we are in formulation stages of, has a lot to it. And I don't know what other people do, but I just want to make it clear for myself and for our state. We're doing this also to put 100% of what people invest in it toward these initiatives, even to the point of dividing up in our team, seeing who's supposed to go, trying to help them raise the rest of their money and all this. So I just want to make that clear that we've committed to that same thing. We put it 100% in our prayer initiative.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for that.
Good. Well, I wanted to give, I know before I call on anyone else, is there anyone that has something you really want to share with the team today? Okay, and I hear someone's, there's some background noise there. If everyone can just make sure that our phones are on mute if we're not talking, that'd be great. Good, and Chris, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you, I know you're out of town right now, thanks for being on, but do you have an update on Ohio there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Summer, and thanks, Leah, for being on. I really appreciate all the comments that you guys have shared thus far. Ohio, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation, I think, and I see that we are really just starting to turn the corner on some of our outreach initiatives, basically getting to some of the churches to offer the opportunity of the call to prayer. I think a lot of churches are really interested in it, and it is a phenomenal tool that they can use if they like or if they're not. One of the things that I've been trying to focus on is something that I've heard Leah and Summer say, but not necessarily we aren't some of these other organizations, but our goals sometimes overlap with theirs, and there's lots of opportunities for us to partner along with some other organizations. There, I think in Ohio are some loosely organized prayer groups, initiatives, kind of outreach ideas, and so I've been trying to connect with as many of those as I can, and how can we work together to, create larger awarenesses, maybe larger events. One person that I've met with recently and have been kind of working with a little bit, has had just this call from God to, for 5,000. He doesn't know why, but 5,000 keeps reappearing, and just so happens, I believe, that's the exact number that we're allowed on the State House lawn. So hopefully we're going to, by next year sometime, have a hopefully a 5,000-person prayer event on the State House lawn. The idea. But as of right now in Ohio, we have our first and second call to prayer initiative at two local church, well, two churches here in Ohio. So we're pretty excited about that. We wrapped up our call to prayer at the end of session with the state legislators and got actually a pretty good turnout. I didn't think we would get as many legislators as we did. We even got the Speaker of the House, so that's pretty exciting. I think that's it for us. I'm kind of focusing a little bit on, you know, trying to work on the Facebook and the email and that. I know the technology side isn't necessarily what we're all best at. We're all people persons here, and, but we're working hard on that, just trying to promote, you know, prayer events around the state, promote some of the good things that are coming out of the Congressional Prayer Caucus and the foundation. So anything that we can do in, from your state to say what good legislation or what good events or ideas are happening, you know, I'd love to be able to put that on our Facebook and kind of, you know, promote what everybody's doing as well.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have good news. I just got an email from a representative in Texas. Leah will be excited to hear this, too. Looks like we're going to have a Texas prayer caucus, which is good news. And we actually have several states that are in process, so we're excited about that. Didn't mean to get off track, but I just saw that email come through and wanted to share that. Good. Well, I wanted to turn it over to, let's see, Deb in Oklahoma. Can you give us an update there, please?
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, some of the issues that we're dealing with here in Oklahoma is, of course, the Ten Commandments monument. And we've had 13 legislators step up to the plate and to challenge the Supreme Court here in Oklahoma. And I know personally I had sent out email blasts to people all over the United States to, you know, just friends and family, that type of thing, and acquaintances to pray for these people because it's they're taking a bold stand. And so if you could pray for our state legislators that are taking that bold stand regarding the Ten Commandments. I'd appreciate it in your personal time. I'm also networking with various pastors and Congressman Jim Bridenstine, our AG Scott Pruitt, and to plan a strategy for the In God We Trust campaign here in Oklahoma. A big deal that's being offered through initiative to Reclaiming America for Christ. It's Protect Life Okay, and it's to protect life and save marriage, and the tagline is legally we can and morally we must. So we have attorneys from Liberty Counsel and a number of very powerful attorneys across the U.S. that we're working with, and we have representatives, Sally Kearns involved in that with us, and so it's just it's a pretty exciting movement in itself. Mondays we have prayer warrior sessions. Right now we're focusing on 1 Timothy 2 through 4. That is for our people in authority.
Good. How are you?
Hi. That they be God-fearing and recognize that they are accountable to Him for each decision and act. And if that doesn't all weigh heavy on our hearts as state directors, I don't know what would. Based on the decisions that are being made in our nation. And then, of course, another one is that if unsaved, they be drawn to a saving encounter with Christ, if born again, that they be strengthened and encouraged in their faith. Of course, that's 1 Timothy 2 through 4 and Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. But we're really focusing on those two areas, and whether it be our state representatives or the people at the national level. But we hopefully will be meeting with the legislators from the Prayer Caucus here in Oklahoma. We will all be meeting to plan a strategy, hopefully in Tulsa, here in the next couple of weeks. And so a lot's going on here.
Yeah, and this is Leah again jumping in. Summer, can I jump in for a second again? Yeah.
Sure, please.
Yeah, sorry to keep butting in. I just wanted to make sure, because I know we have some new state directors on the call, and I want to make sure that we're really clear as we go forward, especially when you hear these testimonies of issues like life and marriage and salvation. You just heard Deb, you know, talk about some of these different things that you guys are working on. I want to make it really clear to anybody who's new, all the state directors coming on, we spent a lot of time reiterating this, emphasizing this, that the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation and the Congressional Prayer Caucus and the Legislative Prayer Caucuses, we basically have one main focus, which is religious freedom in America and God's place in America and retaining Judeo-Christian values. But our goal is to protect the right of Christians and everybody to have their own, live according to their personal conscience, their choice. That's what God does. That's what our Constitution does. We don't demand that everybody believe the same way. We don't demand they become Christians. We protect the rights of every individual to freedom of conscience and their right as Christians as well, who are the ones that are being under attack right now, to live according to their faith, not just believe what they want, but actually live it out in the public square. So I just want to make sure that you understand that that is our focus, that's our goal, that's our lane, that's the lane that we live in, because we want to protect the right of all the other organizations who are fighting for marriage, who are fighting for life, who are fighting specifically, that's their mission, that's their goal, that's their calling, that they have the right to do that. So I know that it's gotten very, very challenging to actually stay in that lane, because marriage and life, I mean, you have to just raise your eyes, and every legislator I talk to says, well, Leah, how in the world do you stay in that lane when these worlds are so now intersecting? And the way that we still stay in that lane is that when we speak on behalf of the caucus or the foundation, we have to come at these things in a different direction. We come at these things, if you read the stuff that we put out, it's always with a voice that says, this is not okay, because Christians have a right too. Christians have a voice. We have a right to live according to our faith. And our particular faith believes in traditional marriage and believes in life and believes in those things. So we have a right to speak out clearly and boldly as well. Sorry about the crying baby in the background. So anyways, I just wanted to make sure that anybody that's new as a state director, we stay true. We need to stay true. It's the way that we have built trust with legislators from both sides of the aisle, from all denominations, for the last 6 years, is because we've stayed true to our mission, and we don't get them in trouble necessarily. If they come to stand with us, they know that we're going to fight for religious freedom for all people, and we're going to fight for Judeo-Christian values being reflected in our laws and policies, which are the policies that protect Christians as well to live their life in the public square. So I just want to make sure that everybody's clear that that's how we approach these issues. It's they're forcing these social issues into the religious liberty lane, which makes it easier for us to talk about them, but we still have to be very careful about how we speak about them, because our mission is not to fight for pro-life or pro-marriage directly, but instead protect the rights of those people who are fighting for pro-life and pro-marriage directly. I hope that makes sense, and if anybody has any questions, maybe we need to have a quick conversation about that, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that.
Does anyone want to respond to that or have any questions about what Leah just said? Okay. All right. Okay, thanks, Leah. A couple of the things in Oklahoma, Deb, I know you said you just had a great meeting with some of the networks in the prayer networks, specifically in the state, and Representative Kern was also there. So I'm glad to hear that there's kind of a uniting within the state there. And also just a quick mention to continue to pray for the situation where the Ten Commandments have been, per the Supreme Court, ordered to be removed from courthouse, from the Capitol grounds. And that Governor Fallon and Attorney General Pruitt are intervening there, and they're trying to stop that from happening. So I just want to continue to ask for continued prayer in that situation. Thank you, Deb. All right. Anybody else want to Anybody else have anything you want to share? I know, again, some are new states. Some are, again, on most are out of session. So I didn't expect to have too much, but I appreciate all of those that have continued to move forward and are staying engaged. Okay, final thoughts. Pennsylvania, as I mentioned before, all the efforts of Representative Saccone and PERC caucus there. Abby is also working on a Pray USA event for sometime this fall, it looks like. So that's in the works. She's continued to move forward with that. It looks like they could have up to 300 to 500 pastors there. And so excited about that. All right, well, if there's not anything else, then we'll just close today and continue to be in communication. Again, thank you for taking the time to be here today. Pastor McIntosh, would you close us in prayer today?
Hey, Summer, before we close off again, Leah, I just want to circle back with Deb and make sure that everything that I said was in parallel and supporting what you were saying, Deb. I wouldn't want anything that I said to feel like I wasn't supporting what you guys were doing. Did you, can you comment on that?
That's okay. You know, it's just, I just have heartfelt issues that I deal with, I'm involved in, and I don't know. In my heart, I think I'm doing the right thing, so I'm sorry.
Wait. Say, now that's what I don't want to have happen. I want to make sure we have a conversation about this because it's very important, like that we're all really clear and on the same page, and then I would hate for you to get off the phone and feel like I just was speaking out against what you were doing. All of us have issues and things that we feel very passionate about. We just want to make sure that we have a conversation about what the caucuses specifically are able to do and not able to do. And again, when I have new state directors on the call, I want to make sure that we sort of put parameters or we put understanding around these things when we talk about them. Right? So
yeah. Well,
it just might be confusing. It might just be confusing for a new... Say it again?
I said those two things are biblical in nature and, life and marriage. So I didn't think that would be offensive for... I know you're saying for all people, so I don't know. Religious freedom would be for Muslims and Buddhists and... I know that's what our nation is heading towards. So, but I stand tall for the Bible. So,
right. So this is hard, isn't it, you guys? It's really hard. I mean, I wanted to stop here for a second. Every single one of us, I'm having these exact same conversations, which is why we need to bring it up here. I mean, I called Congressman Forbes the other day, and I said, Congressman, we have some states in Pennsylvania that want to do a Pray USA event, and these pastors are gay pastors, and they want to be a part of it. How are we supposed to handle that?
Sure.
Right? I mean, this is where we're going,
yeah.
You guys. These are not easy questions. We are trying to take a strong stand for Judeo-Christian values and God in America, and yet we are now at our door having to face these issues where are we going to draw the line? What is the foundation called to do at this moment in time? What do we look like and what do we stand for? And we have from the very first moment said very emphatically and strongly, we are fighting for religious freedom and God's place in America and the right of Christians to express their faith in the public square. That's what we're fighting for. And frankly, people on both sides of the aisle are on board with that. They believe that. They're like, exactly. That's the First Amendment. That's the Constitution. That's what our founders fought for. Nothing has changed. We're on board. But now we face ourselves in a situation where the lines are very confused. And wait a minute, what does the Constitution say in the First Amendment? And our Supreme Court's doing what now? So we've got some really hard conversations to have. And I don't want us to shy away from them. We've got to have them. We can't just be each of us kind of figured out on our own. We need to talk as a team. What does that look like for our foundation? Because if we are not clear on this, and if we're not walking with the same voice and the same thing, we're gonna get ourselves into trouble. we have to be very clear on what we're doing and what our mission is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying this very strongly, again, not to make anybody feel bad, but to say this is the hard conversation we're in right now, and let's not shy away from it or worry about getting hurt feelings or anything. Let's just figure out what is our place and our message.
Leah,
Go ahead.
This is Jenny, and I have that same problem because I in the beginning I thought that we were fighting for our religious liberty, for the biblical foundations.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm kind of hearing that we're protecting, I know we're protecting the Christian, that I thought we were the voice for the Christians basically because of the biblical foundation. Now I'm kind of hearing freedom of conscience for everything, just like what was being said, and I can't be on board with fighting for Islam and Buddhists and all that. So I'm having an issue now.
I am too.
Personally,
that's from Oklahoma.
I don't know I can't do that.
It's bothering my conscience now.
Yeah. Good. Good. Good conversation. I'm glad you guys are bringing this up. This is the conversation we have to have. Because how do we do this? How do we fight for Judeo-Christian values and know that we're in a country where there's religious freedom? How do we do this?
Okay, there is that organization, I can't remember, when I first came on, that is fighting for all religions. And I thought we were if I remember right, when I came on, I was talking to someone, you guys, the deal was we were fighting for the Christian beliefs, and we were what they were doing is good. I can't remember the name of the organization right off the top of my head.
I know,
but they were fighting
for all
religions.
But
we were more fighting for the Christian, the biblical foundations of this nation. So to me, saying now we're going to fight for everyone's freedom is going into their lane. So I'm just saying I'm confused.
Yeah, let me just make this really clear. I said both of those. I said we are fighting for everybody's religious freedom because we have to on one end. That's the First mm-hmm. Amendment. Everybody has a Mormon has the freedom to, or Muslim, or you can come to America and be Muslim, and we're not going to cut your head off, and we're not going to kill you or put you in jail. You can do that if you want to. So on one hand, our laws and policies have to reflect religious freedom. And secondarily, though, America has to remain a Christian nation in their laws and policies. We must continue to reflect in our laws and policies Judeo-Christian values. It doesn't work to do atheist values or any of this in our laws and policies. We can't do it. The only way we remain free is if America continues to reflect Judeo-Christian values, which is traditional marriage, life, all the things that we believe in. Are the things that are Judeo-Christian values that must continue to be reflected in laws and policies. What I'm saying is the language. Let me give you an example. When the Supreme Court came out with their ruling, the foundation and the caucus, we approached that ruling and said, we denounced it. We said, this is a travesty. This is a disaster for America. And we didn't say because as Christians, we believe that it's, life is, marriage is between a man and a woman necessarily. That's not how we approached it in public as our voice because there's lots of groups that are pro-marriage and they're fighting for marriage and that's what they're saying and they're coming at it from the Redeemer realm. They're saying we are the redeemed of Jesus Christ. We are the believers in Jesus Christ. And that's not okay for a believer in Jesus Christ. That's not okay. We're coming at it from the creator realm saying, listen, this is the way that our statesmen came together. We weren't all Christians. Some were atheists. Some were not Christians. Some were stronger than others, Catholics, Protestants. But one thing they agreed on is that the God of the creator, the creator God in the Bible said, we must be a nation that reflects Judeo-Christian values, and that means traditional marriage, life, all these different things, right? So what I'm saying is that as when we have an official voice from the foundation and the Congressional Prayer Caucus, the official voice is that of statesmen
who are inclusive of all people saying, we have a creator that we're beholden to, and we do our laws and policies according to the Bible. That's what America is founded on, and that's what we're going to continue to fight for. Now, you may not, you know, you may be saved, a believer, you may not be. We're still fighting for the rights of everybody to be whatever religion they want, just like our statesmen did. You just have to go back to the founding and what the voice of our statesmen who formed this country, those are the voices that we want to sound like. Through the foundation, because again, we represent legislators and government leaders who are supposed to be representing the entire country and do the right thing for the country, which is govern according to biblical values. And so like I'm saying, we're all on the same page. It's just our voice and how we say it and how we present it needs to be more like statesmen and less like pastors. Does that make sense?
This is Cindy. Can I throw a comment and a question now?
I can't hear you.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Hello. Okay, good. You know, I'm glad that this came up this morning. One thought that goes through my mind is we do need to have a conversation. I mean, Leah, I look at everything, how you word it, so that way I am learning how to communicate and stay in that lane, because what I'm learning is what CPCF does actually is very, the legislators are very open to that, that they really do respond to that type of language, like you said, from a statesman's mindset.
Sorry, you're coming in and out. I can only hear every other word. I'm so sorry. I want to hear what you're saying. I'm very eager to hear what you're saying.
That's okay. That's all right. Is it still in and out?
It's a little better. Go ahead. Try again.
Okay. All right. I'm going to pull over here real quick. What you say and how you say it, as far as staying in that lane, that's really important for us. And, you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm going to want to pick in the recording and making some bullet points because I need that for myself. Because the language that you're choosing to use, I find at a state level, the legislators are very open to it. And so they get on board, and they want what it is that's being worded to them. The other thing is, like you said, and like some of the other state directors said, we do have some things that we have to think through. And one suggestion I'd like to just throw out there is there a way, like maybe we could have two teleconference meetings over the next month and a half where you take one of these, or take anything that's really key to all of the state directors that you need to dialogue with us on, and can we dedicate some time in order to tease through some of that? And I mean it in the sense of like having the conversation today. I'm so thankful to hear people bringing up the questions, because we're all, you know, implicitly thinking through this and what does this mean now. And we need to have dialogue, and it seems like this would be the best venue and the best people to dialogue with, because we've all signed on board, you know, to represent CPCF.
Thanks, Jenny. Yeah, I would be more than happy to do that. I think I appreciate what you're saying, and I think you hit it on the head, which is we've provided a mechanism for government leaders to unite in a way that they feel like they can be bold and stand strong and encourage one another and not compromise, but they can do it with the language that they're used to and the way that they can, that their predecessors and colleagues have done before. It's still the front line, and it's still hot, and people are still going to reject it, but at least they can feel confident that they're being statesmen and they're speaking like legislators and not being dismissed because they aren't, because they sound more like just crazy Christian people. They make sense, and it's right. They're bold for their faith, but not necessarily dismissed. So thank you, Jenny, for saying that. And I'd be more than happy if we want to have more conversation. What about anybody else that has stepped up, mentioned before, Deb and Jenny?
Yes, do what?
I don't think it was clear, Leah, what you're asking.
Oh, just if you had any comments based on what Cindy said or anything that I said, any more conversation about that that we can have right now, or did that help clarify confusion?
Yeah, I just need to pray about it too, and I do understand about the wording and stuff. It's just I'm kind of hearing conflicting things a little bit, but I do understand what you're talking about, the wording, and I do believe that we need more conversation in this.
Okay.
And wording and that type of thing. I really do believe we need to kind of talk this through more personally.
Okay.
And maybe
good.
Nobody
good.
Else needs it, but I do.
And Jenny, I just want to reiterate that nothing has changed. We have not changed at all in our
right.
stand on things whatsoever. Like, we advocate for Judeo, because I've had to do the same thing, and Lee and I both. We're like, Lord, we cannot. We have to stay true to who we are in you before we can do anything else. And so we are very much advocating for Judeo-Christian values. We stand in all of our messaging. You'll see we are very much standing for those values and for the rights of Christians to believe that way in the public square. So nothing has changed. Freedom of conscience is basically another way of saying, like, I am pro-life and do not want to have to do anything that I don't want to do. If I am, you know, in the public square and forced to do something that is against my beliefs, it's I have a freedom of conscience. It's just a way of phrasing it that
yes, same as freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion. It's just interchanged. It's the fact that as a Christian, you not only can believe it, but you can live it fully, full out, and not be penalized.
Yes. And so that's it, but nothing has changed. We are exactly the same. Nothing has changed. It's just a matter of how we present it to the public, because we represent government officials.
Yeah. And let me say one more thing too, just because I think this is so important. Do you know that we are probably the only organization now, and this is what our congressional and our state legislators understand, we are probably the only organization in the entire nation that has mobilized a network of government leaders around this issue successfully. Hundreds of government leaders now are on board with this issue, understanding that it's up to them to protect the rights of Christians everywhere. They are the leaders of this nation. They may or may not be on the front line picketing. They may or may not be talking pro-life, pro-marriage, and in those pro-life and pro-marriage rallies, but by golly, they're going to protect the right of Christians to advocate and to fight for their place in America and to fight for traditional values in America and life and all that. It's their responsibility to make sure that you and I can speak as boldly as we want to speak about Christian values. And that's the thing we have to understand. No other organization, not one, you can't think of one organization that has the ability that we have to protect the rights of Christians everywhere. So that's the thing I think you need to just keep remembering. God has called us to a very unique and important role in this battle, and it may or may not look like the marriage folks and the life folks and all that exactly, but we are playing an important role, and only we can play it because we're the ones that are uniting the government leaders, and we have to make sure we do it in a way that doesn't shoot ourselves in the foot, and that we continue to know what our mission is, we stay on mission, and we accomplish our mission, and we don't do anything to cause that mission to be minimized or watered down. So that's the one thing I really want to say with you is that nobody else in this nation can do what we have the ability to do, and we have to make sure we do it.
Yeah, just one more quick thought. Denny, the First Amendment Defense Act is basically advocating for marriage, in a sense, or the rights of Christians to believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and that they have the right to believe that and not be fined or penalized by government. So, again, it's advocating for the right of Christians to believe. It's implied that Christians believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and therefore the rights are protected. So that's, you can see it's a little bit of a different perspective, a different angle, but it's the same. We're saying the same thing. We're just saying it we're protecting the rights of Christians to believe what they believe.
And live it. Not just believe it,
and,
but live
and it
fully.
Yes. So, but
can
I understand. I
comment?
So appreciate your heart. That's why we love you all, because you have that heart. It's a pure heart to please the Lord, to do what is right, and that's exactly how we all are, really. It's a matter of how do we navigate our faith in this time. And so we're doing what we can to stay true to what we believe, and we are committed to staying true to what we believe, and as well as influencing and impacting and working with the government officials.
Can I interject one more comment?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, as I'm listening to this, one of the pictures that I'm getting is about Paul. You know, when he stood before the unknown God, he went for 3 days. He studied who was he speaking to and what was the one thing that they could relate to that would literally change the hearts of those who were within a city and within a government and within a religion. And today, I feel like we are literally given the opportunity where we become the wisdom of God to those around us. And when I look at those around us, I look at a good majority of Christians and also civilians who do not know. They are uneducated on the very foundations of what our nation was founded on. It's almost like having to represent and reteach something in order to protect what we have. And I feel like the only way that this is going to happen is by the wisdom of God coming through. And I feel that it's already there. That's why I take so many notes on what you guys say and how you say it. But society, it's like navigating them through. And to the foolish things of this world, the Lord is making us wisdom so that way we are able to help bring a nation into the right position, whether they understand it or not. And it's a tricky place, but, you know, we've got a lot of Christian organizations that connect with government. But I've connected with government for 8 years behind the scenes here, and I've never seen such openness as there is with this foundation. But that was a picture. It's like Holy Spirit's job today, it's the same as it was. God has got to bring wisdom through us so that way wherever we go and whatever we do, literally the words of God are flowing out. And so everything that I'm learning and gleaning from you guys over this last year, I really am being watchful. Who is it that I'm speaking to? Where are they? And how do you bring them from where they are? Because we're the influencers. You know, we're to be the nation above all nations. And that means that we have a responsibility not just to pull up a sign and herald out and quote scripture. People don't understand that. They need to have those who are able to speak in. And I mean, I used to do evangelism like crazy 30 years ago. And I feel like I'm in a totally different world now, and I'm having to really ask questions and find out, you know, what are we dealing with here, you know, because besides the people, we have foolishness that's been loosed through some of the decisions that have come through for our nation and our Constitution and how the nation was founded. It does have the wisdom, but it's almost like we have to teach the nation again, this is what this is, remember this. So anyway, but the wisdom of God.
No, we agree wholeheartedly. It's that's from the beginning. It's trying to reeducate America on what it means to have a biblical worldview, the founding principles of our nation, but then continuing to fight the battles right in front of us. And it's a huge challenge. That's why we pray. We all pray so much.
Right.
But definitely agree.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I know we have to jump off now. So, Summer, we'll just all agree that we'll set another time that'll be optional for people that want to come on and really have a conversation and talk about the wording and message and why we talk about what we're doing. If we could do that, that'd be awesome. Summer, I'll let you coordinate that with the state director.
Okay, that's great. Great.
Thank you all. Thank you for going there, you guys. Thank you for having this hard conversation. We have to have it. We're all in this together, and we have to have the conversations and make sure we're clear
It's hard. It's really hard. And I'm grateful for all of you. And if you want to know our values, our bylaws, our mission statements, our everything that we are and stand for as a foundation is 100% in line and is boldly Christian, boldly. We're not embarrassed. We're not shying away from it. We clearly are Christian, the foundation is, and we are supporting all of the things that we're doing because of our beliefs and our faith. So don't want you to think we're running from our faith. It's out there, and it's clear, and it's bold. Even our stance on marriage and life, boldly we're stating our stance on marriage and life. So in our documents and things like that. So don't think that we're running from it. It is who we are. We're just being wise. And we're creating an environment in which our state leaders and our government leaders could potentially have the kind of impact that they want to have, and we're doing it their way. And it's working. It's working. Thank you, Cindy, for what you said. It is working. So God bless you guys.
Yeah. Just a quick closing prayer. Pastor, I know I turned to you before. Would you just do a quick, Pastor McIntosh, a quick closing prayer for us?
Yes. Father, we thank you for everything that was done and said today, and we know that nothing is done and said just out of the ordinary, but everything that you do and say is for a purpose and for a reason. Father, we thank you for the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. We thank you for every state director and every state chairman and everyone that is a part of what you're doing through this phenomenal that you've established. Father, we thank you that it's more than an organization, but it's an organism that is alive and living and breathing and submitted and yielded to you to complete what you have put forth to take place. Father, we go forth now and we ask you for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of what you're doing in this time and in this season. Father, we thank you that this is not about politics or politicians or anything of that sort, but this is about government, your government. And you said that the government shall be upon the shoulders of Jesus. So, Father, we go forth now and we ask you, what is it that you would have us to do? What is it that you would have us to say? Where would you have us be in the name of Jesus? Father, we bind right now any kind of confusion, for you're not the author of confusion. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. And we loose your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding of all that you would have to be done and said in Jesus' name. Lord, that as was said, that we would represent you, not just represent you, but represent you and what you are and who you are and what you are about in Jesus' name. Father, again, we thank you. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. And we just go forth today being shining lights, lights of your glory, of your wisdom, of your knowledge, and of your understanding. Father, we pray abundant blessings upon Summer and upon Leah and upon Jessica and all who was involved in the coordinating of this, what you are doing. And we give, again, we give you the glory, the honor. We thank you for all the directors, the chairman, and all the states that are involved, and even those that are coming on board. We, again, thank you. Give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you all. We appreciate you so much. And I will follow up with a variety of information, and also we'll work on getting a follow-up call so we can have more conversation about this. But thank you again. God bless you. Have a great week, and we will talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bless. Bye. Bye.